Hello everyone, new growth stories interview. I'm here with Chris. Chris is founder of Hello Tax, and he's here to talk about his journey so far. Hello Chris, can you eventually introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about Hello Tax is about?
Yes, thank you for inviting me. So my name is Chris. I'm one of the co-founders at Hello Tax. We are dealing with VAT-related problems and issues for e-commerce sellers. So we try to digitalize this whole topic with our company. I'm 26 years old. And yeah, off the course of this interview, we will talk a little bit about our story, our growth story.
Cool. But tell me a bit more about how does it work exactly, and how do you position it, your product, and how do you acquire your customers?
Basically, to put it in a nutshell, VAT is a complex topic. VAT in the European Union, it's a simple tax in some way, but on the other hand, it's organized by each and every country, by each and every government, and they all have different rules and regulations that they are not even fitting together. And when we have started out, we experienced as e-commerce sellers ourselves in the beginning, we experienced that same problem. We had the issue that every country wants something different, different way of reporting, different way of calculation whatsoever. And instead of just, hiring an accountant in each and every country, which obviously costs a lot of money, we thought, okay, there must be some more digital, an option, a solution that allows you to expand your business to other countries without these administrative burdens that hold you back from that solution. So that's how we basically started, and that's how we focus, or today we are really focusing on solving VAT topics for e-commerce sellers specifically, Amazon sellers, eBay sellers, websites, whatever there are.
Okay, and where are coming your main customer base? I suppose it's Amazon, or?
Most of our customers are multi-channel sellers, so they have Amazon as one of their sales channels. Indeed, it's a big sales channel for many of them, since Amazon is just the number one by far. But more and more are selling across different platforms, own website, eBay, whatever it is, brand building as the big topic for the future.
Okay. And you created the company in 2016, right?
Correct, yes.
And how many were you, and how did you came up with this idea?
So in the beginning, we were three people, me plus two of my colleagues that are from Spain. And initially we were, honestly, it's a very funny story, but in the end we met via some Facebook groups. And it turned out that we all had the same problems ourselves that we have been selling on Amazon, not successful, but we have been selling on Amazon. And we had exactly that same problem, that a regular accountant has no clue about cross-border VAT and by far no idea about technical solutions for it. And we experienced that there was no solution for a big group of people. So we sat together and we put in all our previous work experiences, to try to actually in the beginning just simply find an accountant that allows us to, build up a solution together that allows us to solve this for ourselves. And pretty soon it turned out, okay, there is other sellers in that same Facebook group that have that same problem. And they are willing to pay because it's a big problem. So they were willing to pay for a solution, an accountant or someone, a technical solution, whatsoever it is, to really register that VAT number in different countries, file all those VAT returns, get all that sales data into some tool, and that tool automatically, spreading it to the different countries where the VAT belongs to.
Okay, and that's how you started. Out of a Facebook group.
Out of a Facebook group, yes. So my co-founders, I met them via Facebook group before I met them in person.
Okay, but then you met them in person?
I met them in person as well, yes.
Okay. And how have you managed to create a product with 2% or 3% that were not knowing each other, that were not even in the same country?
I would say we were at the right time in the right place. We brought in the right part. So everyone had a little bit of a different background. And one of them were really experienced on Amazon as the platform Amazon. So he knew the target group. Me, I'm coming a little bit more from the business, from the founding startup co-founding side. And the third colleague is more of a process analyst. So he knows a lot about process and building processes. And it turned out that all three of us, it seemed to fit in the beginning. And it seemed to turn out, even though I have to say the product or what we have started in 2016, if I compare it to what is there today, let's say I would have never imagined that path that we have been going. So it was more the idea of, okay, let's start a project and let's see how it goes. Let's solve a problem for ourselves. And if it works for ourselves, maybe it works for others as well.
Okay, interesting. And how have you founded the beginning? Because from what I understand, there were no technical profile, right?
No, so we are, none of us is a programmer or so. So in the beginning, it was really more of fake it till you make it in some way. So it was more of a spreadsheet, Excel tables, as well as some external partners, some external accountants that we reached out to saying, hey, we got a seller, we got this and that report. We can prepare you with some Excel spreadsheets. We prepare you how it should look like. Can you please submit it at the government? This is how we started.
Okay, so really fake it until you made it. And so, and how much have you been waiting until building the first technical version of your product?
So I think it took about half a year of real work with customers before we came to a point, which was a point that was always clear to us. You know, it needs to be scalable. You need to build a technical, a digital solution. It cannot be that somebody copy pastes values. But it took, I would say, half a year until we also earned a little bit of money to be able to invest in a first prototype that simply allowed customers to upload the file they download from Amazon. Instead of sending it to us by email, they just upload it into some Dropbox-like tool, and then we could, in the background, process it further. And this is the basis for today's software that you can imagine like a bookkeeping / invoicing software that automatically takes all the data from the different sales channels, does all those VAT rules, and creates the different returns for each and every country.
And how was the communication between the three of you during the first month?
The communication, yeah. I mean, we communicated by Skype. That was our platform to go to in the beginning. And yeah, you know, we had regular calls. I mean, in the beginning, it wasn't that often. We I would say once or twice a day, we spoke with each other. And that's how it started, yes.
Okay. And did you add a special focus on documenting information and processes and everything that you were creating at that point in time?
In the beginning, no, which was, I would say, if there is just co-founders in that company, it is not a problem because three people you can always manage by talking. Throughout the growth of the company with more and more employees, that was one of the critical parts that we had to overcome, you know, from just keeping information and knowing the answer up to the point of documenting it, bringing into a structure in order to be able to teach it to someone and to put that vision sometimes somehow in a written form, those informal processes into some formal process.
And when have you faced that challenges about being found the necessity of writing things instead of telling them?
I would say that was at a point probably at the end of 2017. So when we had about 10 to 15 employees. And this was for us like the first critical phase where you needed to organize things a little different because you cannot manage 10 people at the same time, right? And this was the time where people, if they need to manage themselves or have like the first like departments they have been grown. This is the time where you need to go from something informal that I just let you know about it to a process that somehow has a base, you know, a ground that everybody says, okay, I agree. That's what I follow. That's the way I reply to the emails. That's, you know, the basics.
Yeah. And did you had any experience working remote before?
No, I hadn't. So it was also for me the first real remote experience, especially for such a long period. We are doing this for more than 4 years now, and it's
still working. And what were the first profile that you hired when you say that the first 10 person, let's say?
So in the very beginning, the first person we really hired was actually a developer, a website developer, simply because, you know, the website is our business card. So that's how we really started out. And then I would say the first people that came in thereafter, so the first like group of people that came were people in customer support. This was the first point where, you know, at the beginning you do things and you do everything yourself. But then when you're getting like 100 emails a day and then you should still do some business development, that's where, you know, you got this critical mass where you say, okay, I need someone that helps me just replying to those emails and having the phone calls with customers and someone else doing another job.
It's interesting because when you talk about business development, how does it look like? What are the effort you have to do currently in terms of business development?
So as we are, I would consider ourselves a software as a service company in the accounting area, which is very seldom because accounting is still a service, not a software, up to today. So what we try to do is basically bring a service that is not scalable into some scalable product, which has its challenges. And I think this is business development all about, so that we are really thinking on day-to-day scenarios. I mean, I can give you some really nice examples to really understand what we do here. But yeah, simple example, we are receiving about 8,000 different tax letters, so letters by the government, we are receiving them. And by far, the only solution of accountants was, I get that letter, I scan it myself, and I maybe send it to my customer by email, which is not scalable, at least not for us. So what we did as a solution, we thought, okay, there is some room to improve. So the first thing we did is we partnered with a company that has those automated scanning systems. So they are receiving the tax letters, they archive them, they store them, they do all that legal parts they need to do. And they scan it with an OCR software. That OCR software, it allows us to read the letter. It allows us to determine the type of the letter. It allows the system to take a translation of the letter because, you know, it's Polish, Czech Republican languages, all the kind of languages, right? So it takes a template from the background that we pre-translated it. And it can pass to the customer in his software, it can pass the original as well as the translation of the letter without any additional work. So that's what we do every day to try to improve those scalability bottlenecks.
Yeah, I see. So now, like you were saying, you had an impressive growth so far, but now your growth would be more focused on consolidation and business and processes improvements in order eventually to, I suppose, reduce your costs, right?
Correct. So we had some incredible growth in 2018, not only on the income side, but also on the expenses side. Which is something I would say we consider this as an investment into the future. And now we need to really ensure that the investment itself is really getting to work, let's say it like that. So that the people that we hired, the additional software that we hired, it all takes some time, sometimes even a little bit too long, to really implement, to really get it working, up to the point where the customer really sees, okay, now I see the change. So this was like 2019, or is 2019 the goal?
And you mentioned that the first point of attention you had in terms of organizational design and structure was when you reached around 10 to 15 person. Have you faced another one later?
Partially, yes. But I would say the big critical step came with those 10 to 15 people when it comes to organizational things. What we have now, so like at the end of 2018, there was another phase, another step, I guess. And I would say we are still in that phase. We're not yet over that. I think it's how to say, to create from founders to employees, that was the first step. But now we are going from founders to management to employees. And this working to bring the vision, this idea, to bring it to the managers and make sure that those people, they understand the vision, they share the vision, they carry the vision onto the employees. That's the next step.
And do you face challenges in terms of company culture due to the fact that you are eventually remote, or how does it work?
Remote work definitely has its pros and cons, and company culture I would consider as a con here, because you have less opportunities to build a company culture since you're just not sitting in the same office. But I wouldn't consider it really as a problem that we had or that we had to overcome. I would rather say we should focus, or let's say remote working has great advantages, hiring people from all over the world, best talents everywhere. I love that, you know, and I would say we always should focus on the strengths here, on the advantages of having a remote company. And then they will overweight the disadvantages.
Yeah, I can see that. And what have you put in place in order to making sure that everyone stays aligned and has access to you, the appropriate information to do their job?
So on one hand, I would say processes is the number one thing to have. Okay, so really as simple as that, even if it's a piece of paper where you say step one, step two, step three, step four, as stupid, as obvious as it may sound sometimes, this is something that is important to give a basis. And secondly, I would say tools. So we are using Clockify, Slack, Google Meet, whatever the tools are, okay?
Clockify, just for the record?
It's a time tracking tool.
Okay.
It's just another time tracking tool that allows to integrate with Trello and all the other tools that we use in order to just, I mean, time tracking is also something, you know, like time itself says nothing, because you can work 8 hours, but you can also do something for 8 hours and call it work, right? But it's yet another tool that we use in order to also measure our productivity. And most importantly, I would say we have a certain meeting culture, because this is the most important part when it comes to a remote company, that we really communicate with each other. We really try to switch on our cameras, as simple as it is, but you have a different relation when you have your camera switched on. You're focused, much more focused. And all this together, I hope, helps us to be productive. But I don't want to say that we are really productive, because I think there is room for improvement here.
And do you, where are you documenting all your processes currently? Do you have any tool in place, and how do you do it?
We as a company, we are fully based on G Suite, the whole G Suite package, which allows us to store informations starting from Google Drive up to some enterprise storage solutions in the background on our servers that simply allow us to archive and store information. And then I would say, as an easy to access tool, at least the by far easiest we found so far, is Trello. So simply having Trello cards for information with an attachment to it, to get quick to that information. But I would also say there is always room for improvement here as well, to be able to be organized in what you do, and to change the documents on a regular basis, to change information on a regular basis.
Yeah. And who is accountable to keep that Trello up to date?
Always the person assigned to it, which you just named the biggest issue here, because it's not always the person who is assigned to it that really does it or forgets about it or, you know.
I see. And what are your key challenges for the future? From what are your point of focus right now, besides the operation, the improvements in terms of operational challenges that you expressed?
So probably this is, as I said, the biggest challenge is to bring our service down to a scalable product. This is something that never ends somehow, because governments are constantly changing rules and regulations. So we need to be always up to date with everything that happens. Sometimes, even though it's governments that do it, they are pretty fast in changing things. Also on the European level, European Union is also changing things constantly. They announce a lot of things that they don't change thereafter, which makes it pretty complex for us to keep up to date with it. But the goal would be for this year, so the biggest goal we have is to get our software out there for free. So remove any kind of price barrier to the software, to really get people to use the experience of having a tool that allows you to monitor your VAT burden and to react on it before it is too late. Because that's one of the experience we got so far, is that many times people are using our services when it's already too late. And too late means like you can fix it, but you need to pay penalties, you need to do a lot of corrections, all that stuff, right? Because they were not aware of it. And then they said at a certain point in time, oh shit, now I realize I have to take some action, or I should be registered in France for a VAT number. Okay, let's do it now. And with that software, with bringing that software to the people, we really hope to establish a standard that people just, you know, they integrate it to their account, let it run in the background. And once you have some limits that you exceed or whatever happens, you know, the software would remind you, say, hey, keep in mind, now it's the point in time when you need to do something, and then you can take action before it's too late.
Yeah, because I suppose it's also quite costly for you to do all the procedure to eventually overcome with all the issues they already have, right?
Correct. It's always a lot more work for us, as well as for the customer, as well as for the accountant in the home country, as well as for the tax authorities, because for them it's also not fun to, you know, reorganize everything.
What kind of profile do you have internally right now? Because since you rely a lot on regulation and international, or let's say European regulation, how do you do to stay up to date?
So this was part of the big growth in employees in 2018. So in 2018, we invested a lot in exactly those people. So people that know about local regulations, that know about how to deal with tax authorities, which is something where we have relied in the beginning. We relied a lot on external partners for the legal side. So we focused on building that technical solution. And for the legal side, that indeed is always existing when it comes to taxation, we relied on external partners. And we are now in that phase, or we started that phase, we're still in there, where we have like a transition from moving that legal part of it in-house as well, which would allow us to have more control over what we do and the way we do it, but also allows us to take more responsibility and in the end create more products. Because unlike in other industries, the accounting and taxation industry still has some regulations that are pretty old, and you need to still stick to them. That's just that's the rules, okay? So we need to find a mix between a technical solution that fits, that is state of the art, but at the same time, you know, complying with the law.
And I had another question that it's related to about what something that you were previously discussing. You say that the main challenge is making sure that your managers that you are hiring now stay aligned with your vision and your goals. Have you considered implementing such framework like OKR on others?
Yes, it's OKR, just that you name it. We recently discussed about it. We haven't implemented it because we came to the conclusion that we are still too small, and not too small in terms of revenue or employees, but too small in terms of, let's say differently, too early. It is too early for us because we are still in that consolidation phase. There is so many things changing that we cannot say that at the moment we have a regular work day, not even managers that work in operations, even they have a lot of changes ongoing. So we said initially, or we discussed that through, and we said, okay, probably it makes sense to bring up things like OKR, to bring them up after this consolidation phase, after we have found our regular work days, so to say, and then kind of bring it up for future developments. If that is good or not, I don't know. I cannot tell. Time will tell.
Okay, interesting. And how do you define then other kind of objectives that people have to follow, or how do you do that?
We do work with certain KPIs based on, you know, depending on the department, based on the different metrics that we get from different tools. But I would definitely say, again, related to that change that brings this consolidation phase, the metrics are not the most relevant figures that we put our focus on. So at the moment, it's more about, there are metrics, but more metrics like, okay, how many customers did we move from this transitional system we have at the moment up to the new system, right? And not the classical metrics like, you know, what's my response rate in customer care and this and this and so on. I guess this will be something that will come up, obviously, or hopefully, in the next quarters of our journey.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that, just especially because, like you mentioned, you're all remote, your people have to be focused, and you cannot interact with them so frequently compared to if they were in your office. So I was really wondering how you make sure that they focus on the right thing and then deliver on the daily basis things that would drive value on certain objectives that you have in mind.
We haven't found the holy grail for this topic yet, so I will let you know if we have, but that's for sure a place to improve for us.
Okay, really interesting. Thanks a lot for all this time. I would just have one final question for you, and I always ask the same thing, but what advice would you give to someone that wants to build a company and bootstrap it?
Build a company and bootstrap it. I would say just doing it, really, because I think too many times, at least from my experience, people are worried about their idea. Is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea? Whatsoever. Nobody can tell you. You know, the only one that can tell you is the customer that pays for it in the end. Okay, so I guess the most important thing here is like really go and search for a problem. That's, I guess, important. So really search for something that people say, okay, it's a pain point and I'm willing to pay money for it to solve that pain. To not just bring up something from nowhere and say, oh, that's a big problem that nobody has had this problem before. But then when you have something where you say, that sounds interesting, that sounds legit, it's indeed the problem, just do it, you know, Like, you don't need a website. You don't need a single euro. We have really started even without a website. We got our first customer just with a PayPal button so that he can make a purchase. And it worked, you know, like, as I say, it was on a Facebook group. And the first way of marketing that we did, like the very first action we did, is I was making a Facebook post saying, hey, we have this and this problem. We think about having this and this solution. Is there anyone in this group that has the same problem and willing to be our guinea pig for testing it out? And two people replied and said, yes, let's have a chat. That's how we started. And that's how you start. Not doing all the other stuff all around, just doing it right away.
Yeah, that's super interesting what you're saying, because I think the major challenge people have is to be able to narrow down the problem to its most simple way in order to make it actionable, and finding the right person to address and build something with them.
Indeed, this is for sure, I would say, a problem. And I mean, one learning that I have, I took from a mentor that I spoke to once, that he was saying that the best way, what you could do here, if you have such a like a vague situation that you say there might be something, but you don't know yet, you know, which is the root problem here, okay? That he was telling me, and that may sound so simple, but indeed it is simple, is saying just, you know, take that problem, write it down, okay, in sentences, in written, and then just cut off every piece where you say, this is not so relevant, okay? And that what is left over, that might be just a word or two words, but that, so to say, explain in the most simple terms what the root cause of this issue is, okay? And from here, you go further.
And that's how you came up finding two potential customers who were open to test it out.
In some way, yes. I mean, yes, this is how we did it. This is how we started out. And we didn't have a clue in the beginning. So we were also more like, there is some kind of problem, but we didn't know exactly which particular part was the real challenge.
Yeah, and how has it evolved? Because aren't those two people who started the product with you are still your customers today?
One of them is, and the other one stopped his business, so he would have been with us. Yeah, it was really, honestly, if you would have seen this at that time, I wouldn't have trusted myself here. So, you know, it was really an empty website, not even with a domain, just an IP address. And we signed up on PayPal because the customer, that person at that time told us, I like what you do. I would like to contribute. I would like to pay for it. And then that was the time where we said, okay, how do we charge him? And then we initially knew we want to have something recurring, right? So we told him a price and he said, yes, fine. It was 240 euros a month or so, which was great, you know, like out of nowhere, you know? And then we thought, okay, how can we recurringly charge him? So we signed up on PayPal, and then we got this code, this PayPal code to embed. And both of us, none of us are really techies, so we signed up a WordPress account. We copied pasted this code, and then we got this little PayPal button in the left top corner. We managed to put it somewhere in the middle, and we sent this link to them by Facebook Messenger. And he just clicked on the website, clicked on that PayPal button, and that's how we got there, you know. So honestly, you need to ask him why he trusted us, you know. So
that is great. So you really started with a simple PayPal button to get your first revenue.
Yes, correct. Like the first two or three customers, they really came via this PayPal button, and then we earned our first like 700 euros or so, and then we said, let's invest those in some kind of a website that at least, you know, shows some imprint and similar.
That's cool. That's really cool. And then, so you went from there, and how, at what time, at what moment do you realize that you had a product market fit?
I would say at the moment when there were just simply more and more requests and without any marketing. This is, I would say this is where, as I say, I think we are lucky here. We were lucky. It's not that it's just on us. It's not that we are the best and it's just us that could have managed this. I think we had the right opportunity, the right solution, but also at the right moment. It was the moment where, you know, selling on Amazon, like it was a gold digger's business. And you know, we were selling the tools for it, to put it in some pictures.
Okay, that's really interesting, because I think everyone is looking for that particular moment where you feel that you have something and you are on the business and you have some feed and then you can unleash.
It's a great feeling, I can only tell that. But I honestly have to say, and this is where, you know, like, this is where it gets critical. I am not sure if I would be able to repeat it in any other business. I'm not sure about that. I have learned a lot, and that experience is valuable, but repeating it, I mean, this very first customer, take it as simple as that. He could have come to us and say, sorry guys, I don't trust you. And it would have been perfectly legit, right?
Yeah.
So in the end, it was luck. I would say it was luck.
Yeah, I can totally rely on that. And the thing is that it's really interesting, because it reminds me of a video from Segment.io CEOs, who was giving a talk in a university, explaining and talking about the product market fit, and was saying exactly what you were saying, you cannot, if you ask yourself if you have the product market fit, it means you don't have it, because once you have it, you feel it. And he was saying, he was giving that that example, saying that it's all of a sudden you realize that you stop pushing to sell your product, and all of a sudden it's marking the market that is pulling your product and trying to willing to buy it, and that's the shift that happened, that's happening.
Indeed, I think for me it personally happened the first time we got a customer without me being involved in it. That was the time where I said, okay, cool, you know, like people always talk about passive income in some way, but this was my first passive income, right? My first like 100 euros that I didn't had to work for at this very moment.
That's really interesting. Okay. So thanks a lot for all your time. I think we went through all the process. I think people will really appreciate your honest talk about product marketing fit and how you build a product from the ground up. I think it's really interesting, and congratulations, because building, bootstrapping a company from 0 to 50 FTEs and making the growth you have, that's really impressive. So I wish you all the best with Elotex for the future.
Thank you, and thank you for the time to share that story here. Perfect. Bye.